The first one I noticed was from October 14th. Client dinner at Osteria Marco, two guests, $412. I know this because I had processed it. I process all of Marcus's expense submissions as part of my role. Junior analysts on his team do the reconciliation work. It's standard practice. It's how you learn the accounts. I had looked at that October expense before. I had categorized it, attached the receipt image, entered the client code, and moved on. I did what I always do. I processed it and filed it and forgot about it. I was doing a year-end reconciliation audit in late January when I pulled it back up. Routine. The kind of check that exists precisely because nobody expects to find anything. You're verifying that the amounts match, that the dates line up, that the client codes are correctly applied. I pulled up the October 14th submission. The amount matched the receipt, the date matched. The client code, that was the one that made me stop. The client code on the submission was for the Harrington account. A portfolio I'd worked with Marcus on. A client I knew was important to him personally. Except the Harrington account engagement had been suspended in August. There had been no active client work with Harrington after August 13th. I knew this because the suspension had been announced in a team meeting, and I had updated the engagement tracker myself. The October 14th dinner had no active Harrington engagement to be charged against. I closed the file. I sat at my desk and looked at my screen for a moment. Then I opened my inbox and found a meeting invitation from Marcus for the following Tuesday, a one-on-one, which he did with all of us on a rotating schedule. Routine. I accepted the invitation and went back to the reconciliation. I want to explain what it feels like to be the person who processes someone else's expense reports, because the dynamic is stranger than it sounds. You are technically performing an administrative function. You are matching numbers against receipts, applying codes, flagging anomalies. What you are not supposed to do, what the professional and social architecture of the role actively discourages, is form opinions about what you see. The expenses belong to someone with significantly more authority than you. The approval process above you exists precisely to catch problems. Your job is to process, not to judge. This is the professional logic I had internalized so completely that I went back to that October submission three times over the following week before I would let myself use the word fraud. I found seven more. Not all of them were as clear as the October 14th Harrington dinner. A few were subtler. A client code that appeared accurate on the surface, but corresponded to a project that had been billed at a different phase than the expense date would suggest. One was a receipt from a restaurant that, when I looked it up, was open for dinner service, but not for lunch, and the submission was coded as a working lunch on a date, when the time-stamped receipt indicated a dinner charge. You do not catch these things unless you are very specific about dates. I am specific about dates. It is, professionally speaking, the skill that made Marcus notice me 2 years ago and put me on his reconciliation work. I had been good at my job in the way that becomes its own trap. The timestamp anomaly was the one that stopped me cold. Expense submission number 7 in my informal count. A business development dinner, coded to a prospective client, legitimate client code, active engagement at the time, date within the active window. On its own, it passes every standard check. The anomaly is in the metadata. The expense submission was date stamped by the system on November 19th. The receipt image attached to the submission showed a restaurant receipt issued on November 20th. The submission was filed before the receipt existed. This is the kind of error that happens when someone is backdating submissions. When the form was filled in on one date but the actual dinner occurred on a different date. There are innocuous explanations, a time zone mismatch, a system clock error, a genuine administrative mistake. There are also non-innocuous explanations. I knew the difference. I had been looking at these submissions for 2 years. I am 29 years old, and I have been at this firm for 2 years, and I had Marcus's reference on every performance review that made me worth anything professionally. That is not a small thing. A reference from your direct supervisor at an investment management firm is not just a resume line. It is the architecture of your early career. It is the thing that gets you the next interview. I understood, sitting at my desk at 10:15 on a Tuesday night with an expense report anomaly list in a folder I had not named and had not saved anywhere connected to the firm network, that the professional cost of what I was looking at was not abstract. I also understood that I had processed these submissions. My name was in the workflow history on every single one of them. If anyone was looking for evidence of a pattern, my signature was already part of the record. The compliance hotline for the firm is anonymous. I had never called it. I did not know anyone who had called it. What I knew about the compliance process was what was written in the employee handbook I had read once during onboarding and not thought about since. I pulled up the handbook. I read the relevant section. The language about confidentiality was standard. The language about whistleblower protection was also standard. Standard language and actual practice are two different things, and I was sitting in an office building at 10:15 at night, aware that I worked directly for the person about whose conduct I was considering making a formal report, and that the head of HR had attended the same university as Marcus and had been photographed with him at a firm alumni event that I had seen in the firm's internal newsletter 6 months ago. I closed the spreadsheet. I reopened it. I looked at the timestamp anomaly for a long time. Then I closed my laptop and put on my coat and went home. The folder with the anomaly list is still on my laptop, not the firm network. My laptop. I have not deleted it, and I have not submitted it, and I have not told anyone it exists. I go into the office every morning and I process Marcus's expense reports, and I say good morning, and I attend the Tuesday one-on-ones, and I do my job with the particular discipline of someone who has discovered that doing your job correctly can put you somewhere you had no plan to be. I am still deciding. I know what I found. I know what the timestamp means. What I do not know yet is whether the version of myself that reports it and the version of myself that doesn't are actually as different as I need them to be. At what point does knowing something become the same thing as choosing it? And when you're the only person who knows, does that make it your responsibility or just your problem?